You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Safia Kazi, and in this podcast episode, I'm excited to be speaking with Allison Levine, first American women's Everest expedition team captain and author of the New York Times bestseller, On the Edge. Allison will also be an opening keynote speaker at the Isaka North America CACS Conference. So thanks so much for joining us today, Allison.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me.
So, as I mentioned earlier, you've made history as the first American Women's Everest Expedition Team Captain. And your North America CACS keynote session is titled, Fear is Okay, but Complacency Will Kill You. So, when you were at Everest, can you tell us a little bit about the role of fear and why it was so important for you and your team to avoid complacency?
Well, I know most people think of fear as a negative type of emotion. If you had to classify it as a positive or negative, most people see it as a negative, but I really see fear as a positive because fear can work to your advantage. You just need to learn how to harness it correctly. So for me, fear keeps me awake, alert, aware of everything going on around me. So I always say fear is fine. It can actually serve as a motivator. Fear is only dangerous when it paralyzes you. And complacency, on the other hand, will do you in every single time. You have to be able to act and react quickly when you're in environments that are constantly shifting and changing.
And so what exactly is a leader's role when it comes to overcoming complacency?
I think a leader's role is just to make sure everybody has a thorough understanding of the goal and how it's going to be achieved. And to also make sure that people realize that whatever plan that you came up with, whether it was, you know, last year, last month, last week, even that morning, that plans are outdated as soon as they're finished. So leaders need to make sure that people have the freedom to pivot and the incentive to pivot and are motivated to pivot when the situation calls for it. And I think as long as people know that it's okay to change direction, then that helps avoid complacency too, because they don't spend so much time sitting around thinking, oh my gosh, what should we do? What if we do this and it's not the right thing and then we need to change? You know, just understanding that progress can be made in a number of different directions. Progress is not always only made in one particular direction. And I think it's a leader's job to help the team understand that. And I think that is what really leads to them avoiding complacency and understanding that you can be scared and brave at the same time. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm. And so on that note of leadership, I'm sure leading that Everest expedition was difficult because the conditions were so tough, probably tougher than conditions most of our listeners have experienced. So what were some of the strategies that you employed to keep your team motivated, even under these really tough conditions?
Well, something that's really interesting about the type of environment you find yourself in on Everest, what we call an extremist situation, right? Situations where outcomes could lead to life or death, and there's a great deal of risk involved. In these in extremis situations, people typically don't need a lot of external motivation because they're motivated by the environment. The environment is what keeps them going. They know if they don't move that they're, you know, if they sit around for too long, they're at risk for frostbite, or they know if they don't move and get to the next camp, they might not come back from the climb. So the environment itself is inherently motivating when you're in these type of an extremist environments.
And so in your TEDx talk, you explain how when climbing Everest, you can't just start at the bottom and go all the way to the top. You have to start at base camp, go to camp one, come back down. And that must be really frustrating to make that progress and then come back. But in that same talk, you said that sometimes you have to go backwards to eventually be where you want to be. Can you elaborate on that a little bit and tell us how that could apply in a corporate setting?
Yes, I'm so glad you brought this up because I think this is probably part of the messaging that most people tell me afterward that surprised them when they say, I had no idea that that's how you climb Everest, because most people do just think that you start at base camp, go to camp one, go to camp two, go to camp three, you know, and so on and so on. But as you mentioned from watching my TED talk, that's not how it's done. You start at base camp, and base camp is over 17,000 feet. So you have to spend a few days and nights there to get used to the altitude. And then once you've been there for a few days, then you pack up your stuff and you can move up to camp one. Well, after you spend the night at camp one, you actually pack up your stuff and come back down to base camp again. You don't move up to camp two yet. You come back down. And after you've been at base camp for a few more days, then you climb to camp one again. And then you climb to camp two that next day. You spend a night up at camp two. And then the next day you come all the way back down to base camp again. Then if you're not to base camp again, then you do the same thing. You climb all the way to camp three, and then you come all the way back down to base camp. And as you mentioned, of course, it's challenging and exhausting physically, but psychologically, it's incredibly frustrating too, because you know that you want to go to the summit, and the summit is of course uphill, mm-hmm. up the mountain, but you're spending so much time climbing in the opposite direction, coming back down to base camp. And the reason you have to keep coming back down to base camp is because that is how you allow your body to get used to the altitude. It's a process called acclimatization. So you have to let your body get used to the altitude very slowly so that you build up your strength and you're strong enough to get to the summit. And of course, you feel like you're climbing in the wrong direction so often when you're coming back down to base camp, but that's where you really have to keep in mind that progress does not always happen in one particular direction. Sometimes you do have to go backwards in order to get to where you want to be. So you should never look at backtracking as losing ground. You just look at it as an opportunity to regroup, regain some strength, so you're better out of the gates the next time around. So don't mm-hmm. ever feel like you're losing ground, you're not making progress. Don't feel like turning around is a setback, because oftentimes turning around and starting over is just what makes you stronger and what allows you to achieve all the things that you want to achieve.
And so can you tell our listeners a little bit about the importance of adaptability and flexibility, whether that's on Mount Everest or in an office?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was hitting on before when I was talking about how leaders have to help people overcome a complacency. And part of that is just realizing that whatever plan you came up with is going to be outdated as soon as it's finished, right? Because mm-hmm. if you're in these environments that are constantly shifting and changing, you know, as soon as you're done with your plan, it could be outdated. And of course, planning is really important, right? You want to have a plan. That's what helps keep you focused, keeps you on track. But just realizing that you cannot be hell-bent on sticking to that plan no matter what. You have to be much more focused on executing based on what is going on at the time. And of course, it's the same thing in the workforce. Your competitive landscape is constantly changing. The landscape of innovation is constantly changing. Maybe even you have human resources issues that are going to affect how you move forward within your organization. So there are so many things that can affect your plan and can force you to pivot and change direction. And that's why it's so important to maintain that sense of flexibility and to be able to adapt as things are changing. And I think it's all in your mindset. You can't be so set in your ways that you can only do things one particular way. You have to be adaptable. You have to be flexible. You have to be willing to change things up and be very comfortable with it.
And so that note of, you know, plans not necessarily coming to fruition the way you'd hoped, when you climbed Everest, you made it to the South Summit, but then had to turn around just a few hundred feet from the higher peak. Why was it important to turn around? And I guess, how did that feel from you being a few hundred feet away from the higher point?
Yeah, so we were just, as you mentioned, less than a football field away from the summit of Mount Everest. The South Summit is just another point that's a few hundred feet below the true summit. So mm-hmm. obviously, when you turn around just a few hundred feet from the top, you're incredibly disappointed and it can feel just soul crushing at the time. But what you have to remember and why it was so important to turn around is that the number one goal of any expedition is come back alive, right? That's always number one. Number two, come back with all your fingers and toes. Number three, come back as friends with the people that you're with. You know, number four, learn some great lessons along the way. I would say getting to the top is maybe goal number five. It's pretty far down the line, at least for me, because Mount Everest is just a pile of rock and ice. That's really all it is. You can always go back. But if you do something dumb up there, you know, you may not have the opportunity to go back. And so while a few hundred feet sounds like it's pretty close to the summit, and relatively speaking, it is definitely pretty close, that amount of distance would actually take us several hours, because when you're at that elevation, at that altitude, you're taking sometimes 5 to 10 breaths for every step. So being a few hundred feet from the summit really meant that we were still several hours from the summit. And we did not think that we had that much time left of a decent weather window. So that's, you know, at that point, that's where we had to turn around and call it quits and remember that if you come back safely, the mountain's always going to be there and you can give it another shot.
And so if we can go back to fear, I think a lot of times when we talk about fear, especially in a professional context, it's hard not to also think about imposter syndrome. I'm curious to know, have you ever experienced imposter syndrome? And if so, or if not, what are some strategies to combat it?
Oh, I experience it all the time, all the time. And for me, especially, I think there's so many amazingly accomplished climbers out there. And oftentimes I'm thinking, why do I have this opportunity to be up here talking to all these incredible people when there's people out there that have accomplished so much more than I have? But what it goes back to is that it doesn't matter what you accomplish in your lifetime. What really is most important is how you make people feel. That is so much more important than what you do. It's how you make people feel. And the way that I overcome it is I always think to myself, we have a finite number of hours on this planet, and the people sitting in front of me in this room, in this audience, listening to this podcast in their home, in their car, wherever they happen to be, whether I'm speaking to them in person or over a podcast, I think these people are never going to get that time back again. So it is up to me to deliver something to them that makes them feel like they were really glad that they spent that time with me. So that's what I really try to focus on, because I experience imposter syndrome all the time. And I just keep reminding myself, every single person was put on this earth for a reason. Every single one of us has a story to tell. And your story doesn't have to be about climbing to the top of a mountain or skiing to the pole or being an Olympian or being an athlete. You have an amazing story if you are someone who is raising kind, compassionate children who are contributing to their community. If you are somebody involved in the medical industry or just someone that has an innovative way of thinking, I would say technology changes the world. You know, I'm not involved in technology, but I still have a story. You know, whether you're involved in technology, the healthcare industry, being a parent, just what you do at work every day and being there for people when they need you and being a supportive work colleague, a supportive friend, a supportive family member, all of those things change the world. Honestly, so much more than climbing to the top of the mountain. Being there when somebody is struggling to lend a few kind words of support can completely change the outcome of a situation. And I would argue can completely change somebody's life. Being a strong supporter of somebody who is struggling has so much more impact than climbing a mountain. And we can all be that kind of person. And so I would just urge anybody who's ever struggling with imposter syndrome to think about the fact that they have the ability every single day to change somebody's life just by being kind and compassionate.
I love that you emphasize kindness and compassion. Do you think that's an important trait for business leaders to have? And is it something that you think that there's enough of right now?
Well, I definitely think there is not enough compassion in the world. I think that many people out there have just lost their minds. And you see that on social media where it's so easy to take a shot at somebody. Mm-hmm. And to be mean and to criticize. And these are things that people would never do in person. I will quote one of my favorite musical artists, Taylor Swift, in her song, Calm Down. She talks about criticism that people levy at other people. And she says, if you say it on the street, that's a knockout, but you say it in a tweet, that's a cop out. And I feel like a lot of our lack of empathy and compassion comes from social media, with people just feeling like they can take shots and it's okay and it's funny, but you realize there is a human being on the other end of that. Mm-hmm. And that criticism, you know, it starts to pile up and it can really, really affect somebody's life in a negative way. So I just really always urge people, if you can, you know, it's okay to be critical, but if there's a way to get your point across in a way that is more constructive, think about that. Stop and think how you can deliver a tough message with compassion. right? Because people will have more loyalty toward leaders that they feel care about them, right? People are willing to work harder, to go the extra mile, to go the distance, to be out there in the trenches when they feel like their leader would do the same for them. And so people want to feel like their leaders care about them, that their leaders have skin in the game, and that their leaders care about them, by the way, not just as a person who is working for them, but cares about them as an individual, right? So people want to know that their leaders care about them personally, mm-hmm. not just care about them in terms of what they're delivering in the corporate environment.
And then are there any other lessons that you've learned from your adventuring background that you think can be applied in a business context?
Oh my gosh, there's so many of them. It would take me hours. I have a book called On the Edge, and most of those lessons are in that book. But one that I would like to share with everyone is to remember that you don't have to be the best, fastest, strongest climber to get to the top of the mountain. You just mm-hmm. have to be relentless about putting one foot in front of the other. And that's how you get to the top. And that applies in the business world as well. Don't worry about always not being the fastest or the strongest or even the most skilled. You just have to be the most relentless. And that is what is going to get you to where you want to be.
And then before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners or people who may be attending your keynote session?
Gosh, I think I've hit upon all the points that I was hoping to hit upon, but I would just tell anyone to please feel free to reach out to me after this podcast, or if they attend my session in person, please feel free to reach out to me on social media or through my website. My website's alisonlevine.com. There's a little contact button there. You hit that contact button to send me an email. Your email will come right to me directly, not to my assistant, just because I don't have one. But I will respond to you directly, and or you can reach me through social media, which is mostly just pictures of my dogs. But if you have an outstanding question after listening to this, please do reach out, and I promise you I will get back to you. So yeah, don't hesitate to get in touch.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to be a guest on your podcast, and I'm looking forward to the conference.
Well, that's all we have time for in this edition of the podcast. But if you'd like to hear more from Alison, be sure to register for ISACA's North America CACS Conference, taking place May 12th through 14th in Baltimore, Maryland. And if you're a regular podcast listener and would like to share your thoughts on the podcast, please check out our show notes, which contain a link to a brief survey in which you can let us know what we can do to help the podcast better serve you.